kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
Anak, can you pass me Lagi ka rin bang napapahinto sa pag-iisip ng English word ng isang bagay habang kausap ang mga anak o bata na dito na lumaki sa Australia? Aabot sa mahigit 170 ang wika sa Pilipinas at pagdating bilang migrante sa Australia, Australian English na ang main language. Bagaman ang isa sa mga opisyal na wika ng Pilipinas ang English, may mga ilan pa ding sanay sa kanilang kinalakihang lingwahe. Ipinaliwanag ng isang sociolinguist at senior lecturer mula Department of Linguistics ng Macquarie University na si Dr. Loy Lising kung bakit nga ba gumagamit ng mga filler words o nagsasayuta sa kanilang native tongue kapag nagagalit sa anak o may naisabi na hindi masabi sa English.
If the mom and dad are talking to each other and then they're talking about something that they don't want the children to hear, I'm very sure they can relate that they'll use a filler to kind of have an understanding that they're talking about something they both understand but they don't want the kids to know. Diba? Yon? Yeah.
Nabanggit niyo po yung magulang na yun. Isa po yun sa mga classic example na sa mga may mga migrants na nandito tapos yung mga anak nila ay dito na lumaki o dito na pinanganak tapos they speak in English, in Australian English tapos sila minsan pagagalitan yung bata tapos hindi na makonstruct yung gustong sabihin at yung galit nawawala na. Dahil po ba rin yun sa ganun? Minsan yung filler word gusto mong sabihin or meaning gusto mong magpagalitan pero hindi mo pagalitan in Tagalog kasi hindi maintindihan or any for that matter, hindi lang Tagalog pala, kahit ano palang language. Isa na po ba yun sa hindrance?
Yeah, I guess it's, you know, the use of filler in that specific context is more of an expression of frustration, di ba? Kasi what I seem to notice with migrant parents, or particularly my experience, for example, is when the kids were little, if they did something wrong and I wanted to tell them off, I switched to Tagalog. When in fact, most of the time, I speak English to them. And so they know that I'm mad because I'm speaking in Tagalog. And so sometimes, you know, in the heated moment, you can't think about how do you actually say that, right, in English. And so then the filler words come in. Kasi isipin mo, of the languages that you have, ano ba yung functions nila? So if in talking to your children, you're mostly speaking in English, but then for some reason, if you have a heightened emotion, like nagagalit ka, nag-shift ka to Tagalog, and then you realize, oh, I don't really speak to them in that way. So that's when the fillers come in to kind of, well, out of frustration, but also to grasp for an equivalent thing to say in English, right?
Bagaman ito ay nagiging katatawanan sa ilang mga Pinoy, paalala ni Dr. Loy Lising na ang pagsasalita ng Ingles ay depende kung sino ang iyong kausap o depende sa konteksto kung saan ito ginagamit. Ang mahalagaan niya, maiparating mo ng maayos ang nais mong sabihin.
I think we have to be very clear about what we perceive as good English. Okay? And the kind of English we speak has to be proportionate to where we use English, right? So I teach at the university. The kind of English I have, there's a certain set of expectation as to the kind of English I use, as opposed to, let's say, somebody who speaks at a shop, right, or a Filipino shop, where you're expected to actually switch between Tagalog and English, right? So I think, firstly, I just want to be clear to your listeners that there are varieties of English, and it's perfectly okay that we don't speak English all in the same way. At the end of the day, what's important is you're able to communicate your message and your meaning. If you already are a multilingual, so bilingual, if you speak, let's say, Tagalog, Cebuano, and English, right, I don't think it's reasonable to ask somebody to think in English all the time, because it's natural part of you to be speaking Cebuano, to be thinking Cebuano sometimes. So, for example, my auntie who is in Brisbane, I grew up with her, so when I pick up the phone and talk to her, immediately Cebuano. So I don't even think about it. So sa akin naman is one. And then at home, I generally speak English. My husband's from Manila. He speaks only Tagalog and English. I'm from Cebu originally, so Tagalog, Cebuano, English. But also my grandmother spoke Waray, and my grandfather, Ilonggo. So they all brought me up speaking those languages. So I can speak and understand. I don't think it's a matter of strategizing your life and saying, for you to speak English well, you have to think this way. Because those other languages that you have are also an important part of who you are.
Sa naging panayam ng kasamahang si Annalyn Violata sa isang academic at book author na si Elaine Lafortesa para sa podcast na My Bilingual Family, ibinahagi nito ang saya at hamon ng tinuruan niya ng Ilocano ang kanyang mga anak na lumaki na sa Australia.
That used to really frustrate me with both my older one who was 5 and my youngest who was 2. Because I would speak to them in Ilocano and they would, Violet in particular, my 5-year-old, would respond in English. And I'll say, Haandata a Ilocano. What is it in Ilocano? Don't speak to me in English. And sometimes I'd pretend not to understand. And I'd say, ano? Like ano ba yan? And I'd also revert to Tagalog. And she would tell me again in English. And I'd insist I wouldn't understand. But she would say to me, Mommy, I know you understand this because you've spoken to me before. And I'm like, oh. But those are some of the challenges. But I realized doing this podcast and also what the experts were saying is that that's actually really cool that when you speak to them in your language and they respond in English, they've indicated that they understand you.
May payo si Elaine sa mga kapwa magulang sa pagtuturo ng iba't ibang wika sa mga anak.
There's always different ways in which to incorporate that language learning. I think about it like incidental exercise. You can incidentally teach your kids, with me for example, Ilocano. So I can say, even when we're playing like hide and seek, I'll count in Ilocano, like my sa, duwa, talo. Then I'll try and find the kids going, ay, awan ka ditoy, oh, you're not here. Awan ka dito, so like that, because they're invested in your voice right now because they don't want to be found. And so they're really hearing you. But and if it's in Ilocano, they'll have to understand that. And also incidentally, like, ay, awan din dijay sapatos ko, like when I'm finding my shoes or something. Like those things that aren't really teaching them, but they're so incidental to our lives that I just say it. And they get used to those kind of remarks being dropped in that language. So it just becomes part of their everyday.
Sinigundahan naman ni Dr. Loy Lessing ang mga benepisyo ng pagiging multilingual o nakakapagsalita ng iba't ibang wika.
More than half of the population in the world are bilingual. So there's a study coming from Canada talks about how learning a lot of languages, 2, 3, 4, 5, from a young age develops what's called your executive control. So the ability of your brain, right, to shift between, that's one characteristic of it, is to shift between linguistic systems. Right? So your brain is actually quite capable of handling many linguistic systems at a time. Dr. Ellen Bialystok, so she's a scientist from Canada, and she's been doing this research. And basically, her two messages are having many languages is good for your brain. And then the extra bonus, based on some of the studies she has done and other studies that have been created in Germany and India, is that learning many languages actually delays dementia.
Ako si TJ Korea para sa SBS Filipino.
Comment, sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.